Hello and welcome to 20 Tim Minutes, a podcast that focuses on mental health in a serious but yet humorous way. Listen as I interview a wide variety of guests where we show our support as well as sharing our own personal struggles and stories with mental health. I am your host, Tim McCarthy, and now it's time to talk about it. Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're tuning into another episode of 20 Tim Minutes. I am your host, Tim McCarthy. Today, we have on former pro basketball player who played college basketball at Iona. He is also the founder of Cash Productions and Kids Clinic. Cash Hamid, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
First off, how awesome is it to have such a nickname like Cash?
Yeah, funny story, man. I had a football coach when I was younger, and Kashif was just too difficult for him. He was like, you know, an older Italian guy, and he's the one that gave me the nickname. He just shortened it up. He said, yeah, you're not Kashif anymore. He's like, from now on, I'm going to call you Cash. I said, sounds good, man. It stuck.
It's so smooth. That's funny that you got it from football, not basketball.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
Let's start off with this. What does mental health mean to you, sir?
I mean, it's been such a, a crazy word, like, especially like in communities where I've grown up in, where, like, you know, people have stayed away from it, like, and kind of labeled people who needed any kind of mental health services as, like, you know, crazy or something was wrong with them. Like, so to me, it has turned into something really empowering that I think needs to be shared, and like something that's pivotal in my life and that I think so many people can benefit from. So mental health means power to me.
Power. I like that. That's very good. What is your relationship to mental health?
So I came in and, like, you know, I've never, like I said, nobody talked about that when I was growing up. Nobody even said anything about, you know, any kind of mental health or wellness. It was always a mental toughness, especially with sports, and a fortitude, and, you know, not taking down to anybody, not letting anybody see any kind of weakness. And, you know, so, and then couple that with being a man and growing up, like, as a man, like, in this society, and, you know, not showing any kind of form of weakness or not having any kind of outlet to, like, let thoughts or emotions kind of, like, show. You know, my journey kind of started when I got into education and started to really work with kids, and just to see, like, how, you know, the talks that we were having with them were so needed, and like how they were opening up, especially like when I was doing boys groups and things of that nature. And like to see these kids really start to have an outlet to be able to speak about things and find healing and find strength, like, through that, like, I was, you know, immediately hooked. And then we started social emotional learning classes and, you know, groups, and, you know, it just became something that I was convinced would always be a part of, like, my journey moving forward personally. And, like, you know, when I'm working with others.
Yeah. Why is it so hard for men to show emotion?
It's frowned on, man. Like, or it has been frowned on. I think, like, I think the narrative for what it means to be a man, or what it meant to be a man, was very much skewed, man, in one direction, like, all the way, like, to this, like, toughness and what it meant to be tough and what it meant to be a man and what it meant to be strong. And, you know, I think that there was a level of showing emotion was labeled as weak, you know. But now we've seen all these men who have been debilitated, like, literally from not being able to have any kind of outlet to have any kind of practices of mindfulness, of meditation, of mentally strengthening exercises, anxiety, you know, paced breathing exercises to get rid of anxiety, depression, all of these different things. You see these guys, they've bottled all this stuff up, you know, taught their sons to be the same exact way, and it just doesn't work, you know? So I think that we've seen that, like, you know, yeah, it's one thing to have this label as a man, and I truly believe that, you know, that's important to understand who you are, but I don't think people really understood what that meant. And people are getting a stronger understanding of that now.
It's like the whole man up era. Like, I always, there's a fine line for it. It's like when someone's, like, going through it and just telling them to man up, it's just like, oh, you'll be fine. It's like, that's different from, like, there's the man up that I do to myself. Like, say, like, there's a girl across the bar or something. You're like, go talk to her, like, go man up. So that's what the difference between that, like, I'll use it for my purpose, but it's such, like, that era needs to end.
Yeah. Like, I feel like there's a level of, like, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, which is cool, right? Like, no problem, right?
Yeah.
But then there's another side of, you know, telling your kids you love them, you know what I mean? Like, and allowing them to see that side of you, you know, having that gentler side, that emotional side, being able to express how you feel in a way that's communicative and not, you know, this beat on your chest kind of culture, you know. And mind you, this is coming from a former athlete, right? So yeah. There's a time to beat on your chest and there's a time to, like, you know, talk shit and be that person, right? But then there's also this other side that is equally as important. You can't shut that out, you know?
I was such an anxiety-ridden basketball player. I was like the last guy on the bench, but I couldn't imagine just like jacking myself up and taking a free throw. I would be shaking like a leaf up there.
Yeah, man. Like, I feel like there's a level of mental toughness that you just need to be able to play sports and everything like that, which is great. But, you know, I don't think people understood the synergy that existed between, you know, mental health and sports. You know, I think that's kind of like what our mission is to uncover now, like in the really show. You know, how, you know, they already, the synergy already exists. It's just about pulling it out and making a focus and a concentration on that so that the kids can use that, like, on the court and off the court.
So would you say building mental toughness is a, like, a group project, like getting help from other people?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the thing is that, like, you don't really know if you're not having the conversations, right? And you're not having the discussions, then you're kind of guiding this on this journey yourself, right? And you're trying to figure it out. And God knows you can't figure it out from television, from social media, from other people's perceptions. You'll just be completely on the wrong path and trying to live life that you can't even maintain. And a lot of our kids would fall into this tough mentality and this gangster mentality of, like, you know, trying to be strong and tough in a certain kind of way, or a man in a certain kind of way, or identification or label of how they were supposed to be. But it wasn't until we started getting into these groups and, like, starting to have, like, real discussions that they could relate or with somebody else's perspective, understand, like, oh, wow, like, that's a real feeling. Like, I'm not the only one feeling that way. Oh, there's some vulnerability that's happening that's healthy that I don't feel weak from. I actually feel strong through, because, like, it's allowed me to work through some things, you know, like, and I think that only happens through, like, group discussions and group time, like, together. I think it's really important.
For those who don't know, what is empathy and why is it so important to have it?
You know, it's just the ability to jump into somebody else's shoes, right? Like, it's the ability to feel what somebody else is feeling and to get into somebody else's perspective, to allow, like, a level of openness, like, to allow yourself to feel what somebody else might feel, you know? Like, it's important just in terms of community, man, to be able to connect to people, to be able to connect people in a real and authentic way. It's also important for you to have people that you can connect with in that real and authentic way. And that only happens through empathy.
All right, let's get to it. Let's start with Cash Productions. Let people know what it's about.
Yeah, man. So, it's crazy. Like, my whole life has pretty much been dedicated. Like, I played professional basketball, like you said, like, overseas. I had a great career at Iona, and then, you know, I was playing, and there was just something in me that just felt like there was more to do, like, with my life. You know, like, I'll never forget, I was in Porto, Portugal, and I was, like, on a beach. I was making good money at a house. I had my car. I had, you know, somebody who was cleaning the house, like, there, like, and the contract was fine. I think, like, the last game I had, like, I don't know, 18 and 12, like, you know, like, it was a solid game. And there was no reason for me to switch that lifestyle, you know, like, for all intents and purposes, it was exactly, you know, what I had worked hard to get to, like, you know. So there was just something in me that felt empty, man, that felt like there was something that needed to give back to others, especially when we talked about, like, community and talked about, like, the kids that are growing up and everything. And so I ended my basketball career prematurely, and I came into a classroom for $45,000 a year, man. Like, and just, like, people are like, yo, you're crazy. What are you doing? Like, you should be playing ball. And during that time, I'm playing ball still, like, in New York City, street ball tournaments and in all kinds of different things in Rucker Park with Fat Joe and Terror Squad, you know, back when they were making that run with, like, the three-peats and all that stuff, like, with Diddy and, like, his team with Bad Boy. Like, I was playing with Mousy, who's, like, a legendary streetball coach, Ra, who's a legendary streetball coach here in New York City. And I was just, you know, winning MVPs still and everything. And everybody's like, who is this guy and why isn't he playing basketball? And, you know, I was just focused on like giving my energy back into like schools and back into our kids. And so I did that for some years, right? Like as a teacher, then as an assistant principal, got my second master's, became a principal, and did that for 7 years. And that impact work was so important to me that I wanted to do it even outside of the school. And so I started Cash Productions, where, you know, we do film, music, TV, and live events, all like with the idea of like impactful content that, you know, that we can do, like, and, you know, make waves and make a positive impact, like in people's lives. And so that was the birth of Cash Productions.
The principal would be such a great basketball name, a nickname. Like you take it, you're taking care of the kids on the court.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure a couple of people gave me that name. I think when I was playing in K-54 over in Paris, I think Amadou Sy gave me that name, the principal. So, like, yeah, man, I've had a couple of different titles.
I absolutely love it. People listening at home, listen to this. So he was a high school principal at Harlem, correct?
Yeah, in Harlem, yep.
This man, 100% graduation and college acceptance rate at his high school. Like, how proud are you of that?
Yeah, man, I'm super excited. I still am. Like, and even that was during the COVID year, right? Like, so my kids had to go home and they had to, you know, learn life on a computer and Zoom classes. And I'll never forget, we had one student left, man. It was our last student. And she was like, you know, forget the school. I'm done with this. I'm going to St. Thomas with my family. And my team was on Zoom with her in St. Thomas, like getting her through like her last like assignment so that she could get her grade to the place where she could graduate. And she was the last one. And we got every single one of our kids, like 100% of them graduated, and 100% of them were accepted into college. And that's the mission really of the school that I was in. And that's like why I was there. Their whole thing was to end generational poverty, and that education was the key, and had some really big stakeholders. So, you know, it was a lofty goal, but we were able to hit it. And like, I'm super excited still, like to this day, that like we were able to do that.
Yeah, that's insane. Jordan flu game through the COVID is.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was no joke. They made us work for it. So we got there, you know?
Exactly. What do you like most about helping kids?
You know what it is, man, is that like that's your footprint. You know, that's the next generation. That these are the people that are going to take over, and they're going to go like and, you know, impact the world. You know, so how important is it to like make sure that their experience, their lived experience, their shared experience, their educational experience is one that's positive, is one that's impactful. You're a part of that developmental phase. You know, you meet kids and they don't know your name. They don't know who you are. And then, you know, after a couple of weeks, they're calling you like nonstop to the point where you want to change your name. Right. Yeah. They remember, you know, who you were for them as they're on their journey, as hard-headed as they might be, like as stubborn as they might be, like in the moment. I've had so many kids come back and just say thank you. You know, thank you so much for like what you meant to me. Thank you so much for spending the time with me. Thank you for pushing me and getting me through. And this is from like coaching to teaching to being a principal, all of like these different things, you know, like it just really matters. And so as they're going to their next phase of life, hopefully that impact meant something enough to them that they pay it forward. And like, you know, I feel like that's how we create change.
And that is that what led to Kids Clinic? Let's talk about that. Let people know what Kids Clinic is.
Yeah. So with the production company, like I said, man, we have like a lot of different things, like a lot of great things that are going on, like with the company. But one of the things is that we started a nonprofit called Clinic Kids. And we did an event last year in New York where we had, you know, back to my roots of education and basketball, I brought together a lot of great friends and people who I was able to touch base with. And we did a single game elimination $50,000 tournament, right? 8 teams, winner take all, like everything has like, you know, Entertainers Basketball Classic, Rucker Park, like kind of feel to it, right? And we brought that to Westchester. And so we had Chris Brickley agreed to come through. Sham God agreed. We had Lance Stevenson, who had a team. Al Harrington had a team. Joel Santana, Jadakiss. And then, you know, what blew me away, which was really crazy, is that Ra, who was the coach of Sean Bell All-Stars, he got me on the phone with Nicki Minaj's husband, and we were able to talk to her like through him. And she blessed us, and she said that she would be the host of the Queens team. And she, you know, blasted out the promotion and the flyer out to 200 million of her Instagram followers, right? Like, and just showed love because she just believed in the cause and what we were doing. And it wasn't because it was just a $50,000 tournament, like winner take all tournament. That was just the, you know, the draw, what we did is we did a kids clinic from 10 to 2 with all former professional basketball players and trainers, where we do skills and drills with a focus on mental health and wellness, where we do these breaks, and teamed up with my homegirl from NYU who like has a hyper focus in that area. Then we have the $50,000 tournament that's going on, but then we also have 8 community vendors from the area who are able to sell their goods. And I feel like, you know, the majority of them sold out last year. So, you know, from the community being excited to the police officers, to everybody came out and had a great time, and they asked us to do this every single year. And from that, we birthed Clinic Kids, where we just continue to do the kids portion of that, like throughout. We've done Stamford, Elmsford. We're going to do Iona on April 8th, and just like continue to do this work. And now that's blossomed into like, we're doing this in 8 different cities, like with different people. And like, it's just growing, man. Like people are really interested in the work.
Besides the 100% with being a principal, is there like one instance that you were just very proud of? Like, was it like dealing with like a certain kid, or is it a certain project? What was something you like, I'm really making a difference?
You know, there were so many things like that you can go to, right? And a lot of things you don't even remember until like kids come up to you and they see you, or a parent sees you and they'll like bring that stuff up. But I remember one year I had the opportunity to go to Ghana with Project Nemensa, it's called, with Devin Leondis and Steve Leondis, who lead like this whole orphanage that's out in Ghana, and they did some really great work, right? I was so taken aback by like, you know, just the overwhelming feeling that I felt when I went. I wanted my kids to have that same experience. And, you know, the school that I was at has like a really amazing board of individuals who like will give like anything to allow the kids to have like you know, the same kind of experiences. And they allowed me to take 10 kids to Ghana. And so we had this whole like, you know, essay writing contest, why you should be the one to go. And like kids, like so many kids submitted like all their writing and stuff. And all I did was, you know, read the ones. We had this whole selection process, and I read the essay of each kid that was selected. And you should have saw the faces, man. Like they were smiling from ear to ear. They were excited, like, yeah, like I'm going to Ghana, like excited each one by one. And we took 10 kids over for a cultural exchange, man, where it wasn't this thing of like, people always view Africa like this thing that where you have to go and save, you know, these people, right? Like, but I didn't want that savior complex. I really wanted to be an exchange, because the culture is so rich. There's so much that we could get from them. Like, and you know, everybody's not in poverty. Like in Africa, that's a, you know, a really bad like misnomer. So I was able to bring the kids out there. And what they were able to get and what they were able to give, like, was just so powerful, man. Like, I think that it was something that, like, is going to be with both of us, like, for the rest of our lives.
How was Ghana? What was your favorite part?
Everything, man. Like, the culture. Like, first of all, like, you go to Africa, man, like, and it's just a feeling of brotherhood, like, when you get in there. And then, like, the people are so genuine. The people are so, like, receiving and welcoming, like, and everything else. So from the markets to us dancing, drumming, like just the engagement, like with the people, like that was definitely the favorite part. It was a really dope experience.
I love seeing and being a part of other people's cultures, because you realize how big, like, it's a small world sometimes, but then it's like a just a big world.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. 100%.
So how do you do it? You're so busy with Cash Productions, the Clinic Kids. Like, how do you find time for yourself?
Man, it's the passion. You know, like, this is the time for myself. Like, I don't feel like this is taking away from time for myself. I feel like this is where my heart is at. Like, this is kind of like what I've given my life over to, like, are these things. So, you know, the music, the film, the live events, and, you know, everything that we're doing, it all kind of ties into like this purpose of positive impact. I feel like it's the reason why I'm here. I feel like it's my footprint to leave. Like, and so it is who I am. So I don't feel like I'm taking away from myself to do this work. I feel like it is directly like in line with who I am.
Self-care is important. What does self-care look like for you?
So self-care, man, like, I feel like it's evolved over the years, you know, like, I feel like I make a point to take time out to pray. I make a time out to meditate. I take a time to, you know, to lift, to exercise, yoga, like, you know, like I take time and I make time to make sure that I do some of the things that will like give me restorative energy, like, and pour back into myself, and do some of the things that I really enjoy. I still play ball, you know, like, to stay in shape and to, like, just because I love it. Like, so I do those things, that spend time with family, like, and, you know, travel, like, at times, like, you know, but, like, I always make sure that I take, even if it's a little bit of time, like, and give that time back into myself.
That's very important. That's very important. What's next for Cash Productions or the Clinic Kids?
So we got the clinic coming up, man, like in 8 different cities. So Clinic Kids is gonna, April 8th will be in Iona, which I'm really excited about. Like, so we'll be hosting there, but we're getting ready for our summer. And like I said, that clinic event that hit that we did last year in New York, we're taking to 8 different cities, right? And so, you know, I've been on the phone. We got Seattle online with Jamal Crawford, Houston. Vince Young's not even a basketball guy. He's a football guy, but he's just like, yeah, the city of Houston needs this, like, desperately. So we're talking to him, Slim Thug possibly jumping on with him, like, as well, like, in doing Houston. I just was on the phone with Meta World Peace, Ron Artest, yesterday, talking about getting LA online. Derek Coleman, we were just on the phone 2 days ago, and he really wants to get Detroit online with this. And so Udonis Haslam's team is going to get back to me on Friday about Miami. So we're literally putting this together for this summer. Philadelphia is on board. We're just trying to figure out who that ambassador is going to be, or that host is going to be for Philly. And so we're going to do the same structure: celebrity team captain, 8 teams, $50,000 tournament, 8 celebrity, local community vendors, and the Clinic Kids portion from 10 to 2 with the local community stakeholders that have already been doing the work. And, you know, we're going to put all of the stuff, like, in, record it, produce it. We already have Mark Cuban's team, 3 Commas, who showed some interest, like, in picking it up. We're looking for brand sponsors, like, now, who want to jump on. And I'm sure as, like, we do the press release and get the names out there, that people will jump on with us, like, to do this work, because it's needed, it's important. And, like, you know, I think that, like, just seeing the names of the people who are jumping on with us, like, will, like, start to really, you know, get us some momentum.
I know we just met not too long ago. I'm very proud of you. You're a very hardworking and dedicated man, and I'm very glad to have met you. We're friends for life now, so just to let you know.
Let's do it, man. 100%. I really appreciate that.
If you ever need anything from me, I'll start. If you need me as the 12th man on the bench, I'll start hucking threes up from half court. I'll do my best.
Let's go, man. Absolutely. I got a jersey for you whenever you're ready.
Fantastic. Where can people find you on the internets?
Yeah, man. So people should definitely check out the site, clinicsports.com. You know, we'd love for, if we're in your area, you want your kids to participate, you want to help as a trainer, or maybe you even want to donate, like, to the cause, we can always use that help. Like, it's official 501c3 nonprofit, so, like, you know, it's all tax deductible. And if you want to follow our journey, like, you can follow us at _cashproductions on Instagram, and that's Cash Productions with a K, or you can follow us at Clinic Sports on Instagram, as we just launched that site as well. So, you know, definitely jump on, man, lock in. Like, there's a lot of great stuff going on. Like, so, you know, yeah. Excited.
Fantastic. Basketball questions. I have one for you. What's better, a go-ahead 3 or an ice cold free throw to go ahead?
Definitely a go-ahead 3, man. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. At the line, that's not exciting, man. You're supposed to knock that down. It's a free throw.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. But it's again, like, I'll shake like a leaf at any point. So hitting an ice cold free throw and shushing the crowd, though, is pretty badass.
Yeah, I agree. But like the 3, man, like I had the opportunity to do that one time, you know, to end the game, like with a 3, like a 3 or a dunk, like, you know, to end the game. I've done both. Like, and I feel like both of those, like, are way better than a free throw, man.
That's funny. Well, so what's better, a 3 or a dunk for you?
Oh, the dunk for sure. Oh, my All God. Right. Yeah. We had a double overtime, like, when I was at Iona, like, we were playing against Niagara, and, like, they gave it to me, like, with, like, the time winding down, like, and I was able to finish on somebody, like, for the – come on. That's top. Easy.
I absolutely love it. Who is your starting 5 of all time?
Man, this is always a crazy question, man, because each era is different, and you're always going to leave out somebody, man. But, like, I guess if I had to pick my 5, I would say Jordan, Kobe, I would say Shaq. See, and then we always get to these last 2, like, and I don't know, man. I can never. It's funny. We just had this conversation, and my boys were screaming at me that I had to pick somebody, and I could never get, like, past my last 2. You know, I don't know if I'm adding Steph on there. I don't know, like, you know, like, it's just, it's hard to get to my last 2, man. But, like, I'll just say, let me just say Jordan, Shaq, and, you know, and Kobe. You know, like. But LeBron and Curry, I don't know who to go with, man, like, for the last 2.
See, that ain't bad. That's a good start in five, because you have to put like a really good super team, but it's also you have to put a team that could work together. And I think with one ball between those five would be tough.
Well, I definitely think they would have been fighting. Like, I don't think that team would have worked together. I think Jordan and Kobe on the same team would be a fight. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, I don't think there's enough balls to go around on that squad at all.
They would go like 81-1, and that one loss would just be on their mind for years.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Blaming each other, you know.
Oh man, that's super funny. So this is the most annoying question of all time: Jordan or LeBron?
Jordan, that's not annoying. That's easy. Like, hear people that say LeBron, like I don't understand that like at all. And LeBron is an amazing player. Like, not to take anything away from him, like he's done something that no other player in NBA history has done. Like with the scoring title, he's 20 years. Like in his body is still phenomenal. He's still like killing like all of that, right? But yeah, Jordan is the GOAT, man. Like there's no debate of that, like at all. This man has six rings, two three-peats, like, and who knows if he never would have took like those years off, like what right. That would have meant, you know, for the game of basketball. Like he literally got bored like of the game, like, and stepped away, played a whole different sport, came back and won three in a row again. Like, I feel like if that doesn't speak to the level of greatness of Michael Jordan, like, you know, come on. Like, I feel like there's no debate.
I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So you're getting called out to the stadium, or you're getting called for the starting lineup, and it's an individual song. What would your theme song be?
If they're bringing me out, I guess I don't know, man. Like I think like if they're bringing me out and it's a theme song and I want to get hyped, I guess it's got to be something kind of like old school, like that's going to be nostalgic. Anything with Bad Boy, man. Bad Boy and Biggie, like, I feel like that would be it for me. So, like, pick anything from that Bad Boy era, like, and I'm good to go.
I would say, if I'm going to pick one for you, I'd say, let's go Biggie, Give Me the Loot.
Here we go. We could. That's perfect. Like I said, if it's Biggie, if it's Bad Boy, like, from that era, like, I'd be golden. No problem. Right?
Cash, Give Me the Loot. I think that works. Perfect.
Or Meth and them, Cash Rules Everything Around Me, like, that would work, too. Like, you know. Anything like that.
I have that tattooed in my lip. Cream. Correct.
Let's go. Perfect. Exactly.
I love the woo. I love the absolute woo.
Supreme it is, man.
Yeah. What are some words of wisdom you would give to somebody that's a little down and out? Like, how would you motivate them in a positive way?
You know, the thing about it is this, right? Like, what I think one of the most important things about mental health that people need to understand is that it's ebbs and flows, right? Like, I think that one of the biggest pieces about mental health that makes it really difficult is that sometimes you feel like, A, you're the only one who's going through it. And even if you do hear victorious stories, you think that that's them and it's not you. And you feel like there's some kind of way that that's not applicable to you, that you can't get out of your particular situation, and you start to personalize it in a deeper way, but only on the negative, right? And I think that people really need to understand that you never stay all the way low, you never stay all the way high. Like, it's a level of, like, you have to understand that you're on this journey where your emotions will, like, move and they'll go up and down, and that's okay, right? The biggest thing is not to isolate yourself in those feelings. It's to be connected to community, and that community could be one person. It could be two or three people. It could be a group. It could be just people that you have as outlets that you feel really close to, but it's really important to get that community. And it's also really important to start to understand what are your ways that you start to manage yourself in the midst of those times, right? I think that as an athlete, as, like, even someone who's concerned about your mental health, you don't do, it's not a one size fits all kind of every day I do this. It's kind right. of like hearing yourself and seeing where you're at a certain point, knowing when you need to give a little more of this or a little less of this. It's almost the same as a diet, right? I can't eat McDonald's every single day, like, and think like, oh, why am I feeling like crap, right? Like, it's like, you know, sometimes you got to cut all of that out, but, like, you know, sometimes you have like McDonald's, a cheeseburger or whatever, and it's fine or whatever. You have to, like, kind of listen to your body and just kind of go with what, like, kind of put in place, like, the things that you need for, like, the place that you're at.
Absolutely love it. Let's end with this. What are three things you're grateful for today?
And I'm grateful for family. I'm grateful for my health. And I'm just grateful for, I think most of all, the ability to have a vision and the tools and resources to push and see it come to fruition. I don't think there's any greater feeling than that.
Cash Amid, aka the principal. I appreciate you coming on. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm super proud of you, my man.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Have a good one, Tom.
That's another episode of 2010 Minutes. Let's break the stigma by cracking a smile. I will see you guys soon.
Yeah, man.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. If you are feeling suicidal, please dial 911.